Content warning. The following podcast may contain material that some audiences may find offensive, harmful, or traumatizing.
Welcome to Success Unlimited with America's success thought leaders, Tim and Tom Simmons. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the journeys of thought leaders, business leaders, authors, speakers, podcasters, and various individuals' journeys to success and the challenges they had to overcome along the way. We are very thankful that you decided to listen in to our podcast. Like and subscribe to Success Unlimited's podcast and socials to receive updates when new episodes are released. Do you have an idea of who you'd like to hear? Let us know by commenting on our socials or by emailing info@mymentorhq.co. Now, we hope you enjoy this episode of Success Unlimited.
Welcome to Success Unlimited podcast. This is your host, Tom Simmons. And with me, I have Minister Michelle DeWitt of a book, I've Been There. She works with the youth. She is from Charlotte, North Carolina. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to speak with you, and I have a lot of questions. But first, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, Tom. Thank you for having me on your show today. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, thank you. The honor is mine. So I would like to, I guess, kick things off and learn a little bit about who you are. Would you mind sharing with our audience a little bit of your background?
Absolutely. So I am the only girl out of five. I'm right smack dead in the middle that my mom had. Now, I do have half sisters, but my mom, I grew up with my mom and my dad, but I didn't meet them until later on down the road. Anyway, I am married to a wonderful husband. We've been married for 14 years now. We have a well-blended family. So that gives me six children. I never say step anything because God didn't give us anything step. Right. So those are my bonus babies. I have two bonus babies. My children are all grown. I have one that's in college at Winston-Salem State right now. She's 20. She is the youngest out of all of my children. The oldest is 33.
Awesome.
Well, so my other bonus baby, he calls us the Brady Bunch because it's three boys, three girls. So we're the Brady Bunch.
That's awesome. So you are the executive director of Unbreakable Faith Youth Mentorship. What is that?
So what we do, our organization is a nonprofit organization. We cater to those that have been traumatized by way of sexual abuse, sex trafficking, molestation. We work with the youth. We start at the age of 12. We start at age 7 and we go up to 12 for the youth. And we continue going up to the age of 22 because we deal with young adults as well. We offer workshops for the parents because parents, youth leaders, pastors, we offer workshops for them so that they can understand better what our youth are dealing with when it comes down to pressure, social media, bullying. So we offer workshops to let them know what to look out for in their youth and young adults. We also talk to the young adults in regards to college campuses, in regards to stalking. Yes, they have patrol, they have buttons that you can push, but we want to go further than that. We want to talk to our young adults about stalking in regards to relationship, to see the signs before it even starts, to cut it off. With our parents, going back to our parents, we talk to our parents in regards to social media, what to look for, because we know predators are everywhere. there's a stigma out there that predators may look a certain way or act a certain way when we know that's not true. It's unfortunate that we have predators in the school systems. We have predators that are in our churches. We have predators that are in our zip codes. Actually, on my show, we talked about it back in October, to look at your zip code and see who's in your area. You may have a sex offender there. And so we talked to the parents about the behavior changes in a child when it comes down to the social media aspect of it. I've gone into the school systems here in Charlotte and talk with different youth administrators in regards to some things that are that they could possibly, you know, have in their school to work with the parent advocacy programs. Now, Tom, the hardest thing that I have come across is people not wanting to talk about it. You would think that all that we see on the news now is more relevant now on the news, that we see, just as we talk about meteorologists talk about the weather, we also see on this side violence, but we also see now more than ever, there is something happened in regards to a child being violated. We see that a whole lot more now. And you would think that someone would say, hey, you know what, this organization is doing it. Let's start getting this together. It's very hard to bust through the doors with this.
So I have a question, because if you're not intimately involved in a program like yours, or involved in a community organization, and you're not dealing with this element of this issue, you may, like myself, not really aware of all the ins and outs, and how big of a, not just in Charlotte, but even in a nationwide context, even internationally, how big of an issue is child abuse in terms of, it could be physical, it could be sexual, it could be, how big are these problems?
On a scale of 1 to 10, we're over the 10. Just to give you an idea, when it comes down to sex trafficking, we are number 9 in the nation. We're
for number North, 9. North Carolina or Charlotte?
In the nation. We're number 9 in the nation.
Is that number 9 as far as a state or a city, as a list of cities?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In North Carolina, I'm sorry. In North Carolina, okay. My apologies. So yeah, we're number 9
in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, North Carolina, we're number 9. Charlotte is. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who's number 1 now. I'm not gonna guess on it, but yeah, we are out there. We are way out there.
But you're talking about this.
When it comes down to it, I'm sorry.
But this is, you're talking about number 9 as far as child trafficking?
Yes. Sex trafficking. And the reason why is because we have the highways right here at I-85. 77. And so it's real easy to grab a child and hit the highway. So, you know, here it is. We go 85, 95 and on down. A lot of people think that it happens outside, but it doesn't. It's right here.
So what are some warning signs that, you know, if I have two young kids, this is a issue that hits close to home for me. And if you have kids and this is an issue that they should be aware of,
right.
What are some warning signs that that parents need to be aware of, or how can they help protect their kids?
So one thing that I always tell the parents is talk to your children, make sure you have a good relationship with your child. I apologize. Hold on 1 second for me. If you want to put me on pause for a minute.
All right. And so what you were saying.
Yes. So when parents talk to their children, one thing that I explain to the parents is make sure you have a good relationship with them to understand their patterns. And when I mean their patterns, you know, if your child loves to go to the bedroom and watch television or get on their computers or their phones, the small computers we call it, you know those little patterns. Now, if your child makes changes, like you know that your child doesn't have frustration issues, they don't seem to be mad, you want to watch the behavior of your child when it comes down to them coming home from school, coming home from practice. Are they very, if your child is very excited, very wild and out there and having fun, and then all of a sudden they start withdrawing, you want to pay attention to that and ask questions and not assume that it's just another child giving them a bad day. It could be anything. So you want to have a line of questions that you have for them. If you have a child that is very well reserved and it seems now that they're bursting out with things, with anger or frustration, and you see this, same thing. What's going on? Is it something dealing with another child? Don't assume that. It may be in an adult. And so you want to talk about, we always hear about the good touch, bad touch. And I also tell parents, it's okay to talk about those things. There's a video that I actually show parents in regards to how they can speak to their child about that. And I also let parents know, conversations are good in the home, but a lot of conversations are great outside of the home. If you're taking your child out to the movies, those conversations in the car ride, those conversations standing in line waiting to get at the concession stand, if you're going out bowling, they're not thinking about it. So you'll be like, you know, so how was soccer today? Oh, soccer was great. Coach da-da-da-da talked to me today. Oh, really? And how did that go? Well, he gave me a good pep talk and then he hit me on my bottom. So you find out things, right? And they're not right. thinking, they're just conversating. And so the conversations outside of the home gives a broader aspect for you to have those conversations. Whereas in the home, you feel safe. Let's not talk about that thing that makes me uncomfortable because I'm in the home now, so I'm going to shut down. And a lot of people don't think about that.
And I would also like to add something that is Simon Sinek. I'm a big fan of his. But one of the things he says is your phone. It's one thing when you're holding your phone and your phone's visible and it's on the table at dinner, if you have a family dinner, or just when you're talking to someone and they're holding their phone or holding their keys, it sends subconscious messages that whoever you're communicating with, mm-hmm. they really don't want to listen to you. They don't want to communicate with you. So if the phone's off the table, if it's in your pocket, it's put away, put on airplane mode so you're not disturbed. I think mm-hmm. that welcomes a more inviting environment to have that conversation and, yes. and foster that communication. So when the parents have that communication and something is raised, what does that parent do? I mean, it's if you're given information either by a child's friend, or it could be your child or a family member, nephew, niece, and you're given information, what do you do with that information?
The information that is given to you needs to go, it needs to be reported to the authorities. If it happened in the school system, we need to get the parent advocate involved, counselors involved. If it did not happen in the school and it was in the neighborhood, of course, you need to get the police involved. There are also other community organization that helps with, like, up here, Pat's Place. They help our youth out tremendously. And other organizations in the surrounding area as well. Parents have to make sure that they have, make sure that they write down or have it somewhere, note somewhere in regards to the date, the time, who told them, as much detail as possible. Because when you're getting ready to bring up an accusation in regards to someone, you want to make sure it's as detailed as possible and right. make sure that you have that kind of investigation hat on, if you will, I would say, in regards to what's happening with that child. How far back did this go? Especially if another child has said something. Mm-hmm. How long do you think this has been going on? How long has this happened? You know, so you, right. you want to be inquisitive when you're talking to the children. And when you found out this information, definitely make sure you have everything as much as possible where you can accurately share the information with the authorities.
So let me ask you, let me change the subjects a little bit. The mm-hmm. Unbreakable Faith Youth Mentorship Program, this is your organization you created. What led you to create this?
What happened to me when I was a young girl, at the age of 4, I was sexually assaulted, molested by two of my uncles. And it continued throughout all of my childhood. It was just two uncles on my dad's side, and then it became two uncles on my mother's side, you know, and I never shared anything with anyone. I didn't have a voice. I came up in a home where there was domestic violence, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and so I didn't want to say anything. My mom went through hell, if you will, concerning my dad. And then at the age of 14, I was raped by an uncle, and I didn't say anything. My grandmother, actually, is in my book. I tell the story in my book of how my grandmother was in the kitchen cooking cornbread, and we were always told to go see her. And that particular day, my uncle called me into the room, and I shared the story of how I was wrestling with him to leave me alone. And my grandmother heard the hustling and bustling and turning and all that. And she opened the door. She peeked in the door, and she saw him, and she closed the door back and never said anything. No. And yeah, I was 14 years old, a 14-year-old girl already getting harassed and being violated as a little girl starting at 4 and continuing. Picture a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old girl constantly dealing with guys fondling, messing with her, that are family members and their uncles that you're supposed to be able to talk to, in yeah. addition to coming home. And yeah, and then your dad's cursing out your mother. He's telling you guys, you know, to get out his face. And so all of that trauma that I went through as a child, the organization, I worked with youth. I was a youth pastor for over a decade. And I always worked with the youth in the school system. I worked in the school system here in Charlotte for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And working with the youth so much, after writing the book about I've Been There and telling my story, it was led for me to go further and have the organization to give our youth today a voice, to let them know that they're not alone. I was alone. And to tell their story, it's okay. I'm a strong advocate when it comes down to our youth and our young adults. I love them with a whole heart, and I have so much compassion for our youth and young adults. People do not understand how much they're holding in because of the love that they have for the individual that they're living with, a caretaker, mom, dad, grandmother, aunt, uncle. I held in all of my pain until I was 14. And when I was 14 and 6 months, I didn't tell anyone. Now, that doesn't count the years that I went through the trauma with my uncles. I held in the rape for 6 months. And the only reason why that came out is because my half sister told my mother. That's the only reason why. She was the only person I told. But then once it came out, and again, I share this in my book. I have a lot of stories in my book, but I share this particular one because it's so important to our viewers and our listeners to know how horrific this can be and tormenting. When it came out, my dad told me I was a whore and a slut at 14, And if anything happened, I deserved it. And my grandmother said, I'm no longer your grandmother anymore. I'm a shy little girl. I'm timid. I have anxiety. I'm dealing with depression. All of these things are inside of me. And then you don't have any support from your family at all. So how dare I even tell them now? I just shut down at this point. I'm not going to even tell you what's been going on with me for the past couple of years then. Why?
Yeah. What good will do?
So I opened up this organization, right? And with the organization, I share as much as possible. I don't hold back when it comes down to telling the truth. I believe the truth is the best way to get help. It's not for a show. It's not political. This is from my heart. I don't want another child to even go through the hell I went through. I was tormented. All the pain. If it was not for God, I would be pretty much on medication and everything, because we were always told what's in the house stays in the house. You don't go outside and tell your business. Now we have counseling. My children can go through counseling, and it can be in a private manner. You know, it can be where they go in and have the family involved. Yeah.
So when someone goes through a very traumatic experience, and not just an experience one time, but experiences that stretch over a course of years, how do some kids, when they grow up, they kind of go your path of trying to help and help others, and others go the path of drugs and depression and violence and doing unto others what was done unto them? How do you break that generational behavior?
Just as you stated, you have to. For me, as I said, it's God. For some people that go the opposite direction, again, it goes back to who's in your circle. Where's the village at? What were the signs in the beginning? There's always a start. There's always a beginning. Something happened that changed that person's life. And if you're not tentative to what you're seeing around you when it comes down to these children, it may not be your child. You can't just say Johnny's bad. There is no bad child. Okay. God didn't create anything bad. He said everything he created was good. And so a child is not bad. There's something else going on. It could be a dysfunction in the mind. It may not be any type of sexual abuse at all. However, it also could be that. And you have to prepare yourself to hear that thing that you don't want to hear.
Sorry, folks. I have lost.
If you do not.
There she is.
Okay. If you don't,
you're freezing up, Michelle. I think the internet's going in and out. Yes, ma'am.
I have no
idea. All right, and we're back.
We have to just start at the beginning when it comes down to our children, recognizing the signs and being able to have that conversation. I volunteered the end of last year before they closed down the Department of Juvenile Justice here. They closed it down, and I offered the program to work with the boys and the girls there. That's the uniqueness of my program. We don't do just boys. We don't do just girls. We do both, and that's unique, very unique. So I was able to go in and do a four-week program, really, with the boys. Then I did one with the girls. It was 2 weeks with the girls. But those boys that were in this program, I'm going to tell you, Tom, they had so much going on mentally. They had a lot happening to them. I really feel in the depths of my heart that if someone would have caught the beginning, if someone would have just grabbed them and said, hey, what's going on? Something's happening. They would not have been in the detention center. I strongly feel that we're putting our focus on areas that are just not worth talking about. And it's a waste of money and a waste of time when we have our juveniles flying off the handle everywhere and they're out of control because they're looking for love in the wrong places. They really are.
I tell my two kids, and they are probably tired of hearing about it, but two things I tell them, not daily, but probably 2-3 times a week. Be mindful of who your friends are. And kids mimic the behavior of adults. So as an adult, as a parent, be careful who you have in your home. Be careful of who you associate with. Be careful who you put up on a pedestal as your mentor, because your kids are going to see that as well. And the second thing that I tell my kids are, you know, what your mouth speaks, your ears are going to hear and your mind's going to believe. So be careful who you listen to, what you listen to, and what you say. They are tired. I've told my 11-year-old, he is tired hearing me say that. But it's true. I'm hoping that when he gets into his teenage years, some of that will stick at some point, maybe.
Yeah, repetitiveness helps. Repetitiveness. They are going to love you, especially when it comes down to watching their peers in school. They're going to remember what you're saying, and they're going to be like, wow, this is what Dad's talking about. You know?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. If there are my kids, they can be hard-headed and stubborn, so we'll see. I guess one of the last questions here. How can someone find your organization? How can they get involved where they are to make an impact locally, wherever they are, whether they'll be in San Diego, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, or wherever they are? How can someone get plugged into a community and make some kind of difference with the youth?
What they can do is in their, like you said, in their community, find out how you can volunteer in regards to working in park and rec, volunteering to tutor, volunteering at the schools. Yeah, if they could volunteer to do that, that would be great. Also, with my organization, you can actually go to my website, Unbreakable Faith Incorporated, and actually you can see some of the things that we're doing. As a matter of fact, this weekend we're doing a coat and blanket drive to give to the homeless this weekend. And that is beautiful. I love it. We did it. We started out last year with Blankets of Love, and this year we added the coats for the children. And so you can definitely go on the website. Rain is very popular. They're always looking for those that are willing to help out in the local community. Again, Pat's Place, you have, I'm just naming places here in the Charlotte area, but anywhere, like you said, it could be in Boston, it could be in Las Vegas. Find out what you can do in your community to help work with youth. All you have to do is just plug it in your community to see what organizations are out there for youth, and go and get the work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully this resonates with somebody in our audience, and it makes a difference even in a small way. If it can make a difference in one life, this 30 minutes has been well spent, well worth it. So thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's interview. Every week, we release 2 new episodes. Remember to follow Success Unlimited's podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening in.